KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up on KOMO.
If only the nation had followed our state's example.
220,000 would be alive.
I'm Corwin Hake, the argument against reopening.
I'm Bill O'Neill. The year that brought us the coronavirus pandemic also brought a record number of people in Washington seeking health care coverage. Details coming up.
Plus traffic and weather on the fours. Live now to ABC News. KOMO News Time, 12 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Another dire milestone in this pandemic. More than 400,000 Americans confirmed that have died so far, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The ongoing surge in cases, part of the reason for tomorrow's scaled-back inauguration, security is another. Today, before leaving for Washington, D.C., President-elect Joe Biden bid farewell to his home state.
You know, it's kind of emotional.
Tears streaming from his face, President-elect Biden bid farewell to his home state.
When I die, Delaware written on my heart.
Biden spoke from the Delaware National Guard building, named for his late son, Beau.
I only have one regret. He's not here, because we should be introducing him as president.
It is Joe Biden who will take his oath here in this fortified city to become the 46th president of the United States. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Washington.
Biden and Harris will arrive to unprecedented security with active threats. Thousands of National Guard troops on alert. Several have been pulled from their mission due to security concerns as the FBI vets those Guard members. The Senate is back in session today, taking up confirmation hearings for Biden's cabinet picks. Before the hearings, though, Senate Leader Mitch McConnell spoke and says President Trump is to blame for the mob of Trump supporters and violence at the Capitol.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. And they tried to use fear and violence to stop a specific proceeding of the first branch of the federal government, which they did not like.
There are more charges stemming from the Capitol riot. The Justice Department filing its first conspiracy charges against a Virginia man, alleging he was an apparent leader of a group of militia members known as the Oath Keepers, part of that mob that stormed the building. The FBI identified him as Thomas Caldwell and says he helped organize a small group with the intention of disrupting the counting of the Electoral College vote. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon, KOMO News Time 12:02. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. Public health remains in a very precarious place. That's the message from the State Health Department as pressure increases to reopen the economy faster than the current plan. More from KOMO's Corwin Hake.
When Lacey Fehrenbach with the Department of Health hears the calls to resume indoor dining because businesses are suffering, she is sympathetic.
I do recognize this is hard. We recognize this is so hard.
But the Assistant Secretary for COVID Response says Washington is walking a very fine line. COVID cases are down lately, and yet
our case rates are among the highest they've been over the year of the pandemic.
She believes strongly Washington is handling this crisis the right way.
If the U.S. had followed a model like ours or had a similar death rate, 220,000 people would be alive in the United States today that are not.
A new state Senate bill calls for immediate reopening of restaurants, theaters, and more at 25% capacity. Corwin Hake, KOMO News.
State governments, including Washington's, are seeking immediate help from the incoming Biden administration to jumpstart their COVID-19 vaccination programs. Political science professor Ben Gaskins explains the federal government's role.
To provide more direction, more coordination, but ultimately more money and more vaccines as quickly as possible so that individuals and businesses and local governments can start to recover.
He says an important first step is to create a vaccine schedule to efficiently get supplies out to states. The year of the coronavirus pandemic also saw more people in Washington state seeking health care coverage than ever before.
The numbers show more than 2 million residents secured coverage through Washington's health plan finder. The vast majority received free or low-cost Apple health coverage. The rest enrolled in qualified health plans. Exchange CEO Pam McEwen says the numbers reflect the needs of people who lost their employer-sponsored health coverage due to the pandemic. The News Tribune reports December saw an average of 1,500 people per day enrolling in Apple Health. Bill O'Neill, KOMO News.
Coming up on KOMO.
I'm Brian Calvert with Washington's new vaccine plan and the private partnerships it will take to end COVID's reign.
But first, at 12:04, it's time for a KOMO traffic update from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis Calhoun.
Good afternoon, Will, in Seattle, southbound 5, the I-90 interchange. Looks like we have some road work taking up the two right lanes, and that is leaving you solid stop-and-go action all the way past that 520 interchange, and no ETA for when this will wrap up as of right now. In Issaquah, we still have the closure of both directions of Issaquah-Hobart Road between Tiger Mountain Road and May Valley Road due to a serious accident investigation. Over your mountain passes, no restrictions right now over both Snoqualmie and Stevens. Your next Como traffic at 12:14.
Our Como forecast now. Let's check in with meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Any lingering morning fog, slowly clearing for most locations by mid-afternoon today. Looking at a dry evening for the commute and actually better visibility, too, for the drive time home. But heading into this evening, the clouds will begin to increase, especially across the northwest interior. That's where light showers will likely develop late tonight into early Wednesday morning, anywhere from Everett north into Bellingham, including the San Juan Islands and Washington's north coast. But everywhere else remaining dry and mostly cloudy into Wednesday. Following that is more showers on Thursday for more backyard. Here in western Washington, turning colder soon thereafter with a chance of a rain-snow mix to impact the lowlands Sunday through Monday of next week. In the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Yeah, looking at the temperature gauges outside our windows, yes, it's certainly cold, 40 degrees in Seattle right now, although I think there must be something hinky going on with the Seattle stations because the National Weather Service readout is showing showers over our heads here in Seattle, and as far as I can see out our window, it's pretty much just blue sky. So we'll go with that instead of what that reporting station is putting out. Right now in Seattle, it's 12:06, 40, and partly cloudy. Any Washington resident age 65 or older can now get the COVID-19 vaccine. The change happened yesterday. Como's Brian Calvert has more on the governor's new plan.
The feds had just recommended that all states lower their vaccination age to 65 as soon as possible. Washington has done so. But that means 1.5 million state residents now qualify for the double poke in the arm. Governor Inslee unveiled plans to open massive vaccination centers across the state to accomplish up to 45,000 vaccinations daily. Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson says he'll help using some of their properties.
We believe this is an opportunity to come together, unite around a common goal, and to support our public sector leaders as they work to scale up vaccination capability across the state of Washington.
Microsoft's Brad Smith is also on board, offering his Redmond campus, a workspace that's been virtually empty since the pandemic began, because his workforce is mostly at home.
And the focus on setting a bold goal and building distribution capacity ahead of supply is precisely what the people of Washington need.
Brian Calvert, Como News.
The State Patrol and the Washington National Guard are on alert at the Capitol campus in Olympia. Law enforcement still says they're not aware of any credible threats against our state, but they're monitoring everything. Trooper Kurt Boyle says they're working not only to protect government resources and property, but also everyone's right to free speech.
As sacred as those rights are, they are not boundless. The boundary of those rights is illegality. The boundary of those rights is doing things that could harm others.
The State Patrol says the recent calm will not change their level of security. They say any drawdown after Inauguration Day will be gradual. A House Legislative Committee voted this morning to approve a delay in the ban on single-use plastic bags. The law banning the bags passed nearly a year ago and was supposed to take effect January 1st this year.
The pandemic put a crimp in those plans with major supply chain issues of the compliant paper, and a lot of stores stopped even letting people bring in their own reusable plastic bags because of the virus. Representative Mary Dye is the ranking Republican on the House Energy and Environmental Committee.
When these bans are implemented, there's a large increase in the use of reusable, and we found that the reusable bags were contaminated and potential for spreading COVID.
Democratic Representative Committee Chair Joe Fitzgibbon said nobody wanted to push out the implementation until July 1st, but the time is needed to give manufacturers and distributors of compliant bags time to catch up to demand.
This is not a good long-term solution. It makes sense while we're in the middle of this historic pandemic.
Once the new law goes into effect, single-use plastic carryout bags will be banned in all retail, grocery stores, and restaurants.
That's Como's Carlene Johnson. She reports an 8-cent charge will be applied for each paper bag, which must be made with at least 40% recycled content. Two Spokane area lawmakers, once again, trying to split the state in two, Representative Rob Chase and Representative Bob McCaslin, have introduced a bill that would create a 51st state called Liberty, although there are quite a few more steps than just getting it through the Washington state legislature. As you may recall, former Republican Representative Matt Shea tried the same thing several times, all unsuccessfully.
Well, you'd have a completely new constitution, and I think that that's what the beauty of this is. We're talking about what freedom actually looks like again. You know, what do property rights look like again?
The divide would follow the crest of the Cascade Mountains. Now, it's not going to happen. But if the bill were to pass Olympia, in theory, it would only take effect after the United States Congress agreed to the formation of a new state. Como News Time 1210, and it's time for an update on sports. From the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk, here's Eric Hines.
Huskies head football coach Jimmy Lake might lose his defensive coordinator to a former Husky head coach. Reports out of Austin, Texas say defensive coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski is the leading candidate to take the same job with the Texas Longhorns under new head coach Steve Sarkisian. The Kansas City Chiefs still wait to see if quarterback Patrick Mahomes will clear concussion protocol in time to play in the AFC title game against Buffalo. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid says his game prep can't wait.
I just leave that with the docs, and because of the protocol, it's a no-brainer from the coach's standpoint. You don't have to think about it. You just have to go forward and make sure you have an answer if he's there, and an answer if he's not there. I can't tell you from a medical standpoint where he's at. That's their decision, and I just follow it.
In the NFC game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers visit the Green Bay Packers. The Chargers have a new head coach. They hired Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. The Rams defense was top-ranked in the NFL this season. No FanFest or winter caravan for the Mariners this year due to COVID-19 restrictions, but the M's today begin what they call their virtual baseball bash. You can get information at mariners.com. Sports at 10 and 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Hines, Como News.
Well, before the guy could even sing Meet the Mets, the New York Mets have fired their newly hired general manager over a sexting scandal.
Well, the Mets' new owner, Steve Cohen, tweeted that in his initial press conference, he talked about integrity and having zero tolerance for this behavior. And he's referring to Jared Porter sending lewd photos to a female reporter back in 2016 when he was with the Cubs. And this just came to light now. Porter has been fired as the Mets' GM after only being on the job a little over a month.
Scott Pringle reporting. Tax day? 3 months away, and this year, filing your return could be a little more complicated than usual.
Experts say thanks to the pandemic, you're going to have to factor in unemployment benefits and economic impact payments. Mark Stiebler with Jackson Hewitt Tax Service says because of law changes, there's opportunity and risks we haven't seen before. For example, the new stimulus bill has a bunch of provisions for individuals. So here's his tip if you are eligible for that $600 stimulus check.
What I would tell folks is watch for your economic impact payment from the new bill. And if you didn't get all of your money, talk to your tax pro, but you can fix it on your 2020 tax return.
Siebler says the economic impact payments are not taxable, but you need to report how much you received. If the IRS underpaid you, Siebler says you'll receive a bigger return.
Como's Kelly Koopman's reporting. The man accused of making a bomb threat near the FBI field office in downtown Seattle over the weekend was in court yesterday. Julio Andres Ramirez Santiago arrested Saturday after claiming there was a bomb inside his truck, which was on fire outside the building. Police say he admitted to being a meth user and said that voices told him to park there. He's being held on $250,000 bail after a judge found probable cause for a bomb threat and first-degree reckless burning.
For what it's worth, I'm Sherry Preston. It was a carjacking in Portland, Oregon that can only be described as bizarre.
It's that split-second decision that can just change everything.
Crystal Leary's decision, leaving her 4-year-old son in her SUV and leaving it running while she ran into a store to grab a few things.
As moms, we get really busy and we think we're just running in for a second. And this is just a perfect example of just letting our guards down and how terribly it could have.
Because that's when a thief jumped in and took off. But then he turned around, drove back, and proceeded to yell at Leary for leaving her child alone. Even threatened to call the cops on her before ordering her to take her boy out of the car. She said she did, and he took off again. He's still on the loose. Leary and her son are okay.
So I'm thankful that he's okay. And it was so stupid, and I'll never do that again.
For what it's worth. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Still hard news to hear if you're a lover of eating or fishing for salmon. The fish is facing the threat of extinction in Washington, according to the 2020 State of Salmon in Watersheds report. It shows 5 runs are at crisis level. Also says that 10 of 14 threatened or endangered runs are not improving. Researchers say the cause of this? Climate change. Como News Time, 1214. Time for an update on traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis Calhoun.
Well, if you're planning on making the drive this afternoon, southbound 5 through downtown Seattle, you might want to delay the drive. We have some road work south 5 at the I-90 interchange, taking up the two right lanes and seeing quite the bumper-to-bumper action right now, all the way back past the 520 interchange, so we'll keep you up to date on that. No ETA for reopening lanes there. No restrictions over both Snoqualmie and Stevens passes, and we still have the closure in Issaquah of both directions of Issaquah-Hobart Road between Tiger Mountain and May Valley due to an accident. Your next Como traffic at 12:24.
Our Como forecast now, and the weather is going to remain mostly clear for the rest of this week with just a slight chance of showers on Thursday. Other than that, dry and cooling down. High temperatures today and tomorrow in the mid to upper 40s, but then by Friday, Saturday, we'll be lucky if we get into the low 40s for our daytime highs. Right now, it's 40 on the nose at Como News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now the headlines are following from the Como 24/7 News Center. Today, the current death toll for COVID-19 broke the 400,000 mark. The University of Washington predicting the country is still on an upward trajectory when it comes to coronavirus deaths. The model predicting from the UW that more than 566,000 Americans will die by May 1st. And President-elect Joe Biden set to deliver remarks tonight to honor victims of the coronavirus on the eve of his inauguration, joined by the Vice President-elect Kamala Harris as they address the nation at the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool. We'll have more on that coming up at 12:45. Now, almost 2 weeks after the storming of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of President Trump, we're getting a better idea of what led to the security failure. It appears that fear of the optics of the situation may have something to do with how it unfolded. And covering this for The Washington Post is investigative reporter Rosalind Helderman, and she joins us on the Como Newsline. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Let's start with that optics word. There's no fence around the Capitol complex like there is at the White House. The visual presence of the Capitol and the security around it is really important to lawmakers. How did that influence the plans made by the House and Senate sergeants at arms?
The police chief, the Capitol police chief, who has now resigned, has given an interview in which he has said that he requested having National Guard troops guarding the Capitol during this big planned pro-Trump rally. And his request was denied by his bosses, the House Sergeant at Arms and the Senate Sergeant at Arms, with the House Sergeant at Arms saying specifically that he was concerned about the optics of that move. In our news story, we for the first time spoke with a friend of the Sergeant at Arms who has spoken to him about what he meant by that and what was going through his head. And basically what he said is he had worked on the Hill for 10 years and he knew how lawmakers think and thought he could anticipate the fact that they would not like the idea of calling in the U.S. military, you know, soldiers, troops, to be guarding the Capitol in response to a Trump rally. And he thought he was channeling their likely response were they to be asked.
Interesting, considering that we saw, you know, those troops out for the Black Lives Matter marches earlier in the summer. Beyond the optics question, though, were the House and Senate sergeants at arms convinced that their security plan would actually work? You know, that even without the National Guard on hand, Capitol Police were up to the task.
Yeah, you know, neither of them have actually spoken publicly and directly. So that's an account that we'll have to hear perhaps through investigations to come. But what this friend of the House Sergeant at Arms told us, this friend who is himself a former Senate Sergeant at Arms, he said that they were, that they felt as though they had had a lot of conversations with the Capitol Police Chief, also with other agencies in Washington, the FBI, the Metropolitan Police Department, the City Police Department, and that everyone was comfortable with what they had going, which included about 1,400 Capitol Police officers and some coordination with the City Police Department. And they thought that they had a sort of informal agreement to have maybe 125 guardsmen kind of on alert if they were to be needed. It turned out that the guard did not believe that that sort of informal request was, you know, was a formal request. And they also say that the National Guard is not intended to be sort of a quick reaction force like that. So the notion of having them kind of on call, they say just isn't the way they work. And so they weren't on call and, in fact, it took hours to respond.
Who makes up the three-person board that oversees security in such an unusual way, and how many directions are they being pulled in?
What you've got is you've got something called the Capitol Police Board. It is the official body which is in charge of the police chief and the Capitol Police. It's not one person, so there's not sort of one decision maker. There's three people on that board. There's the House Sergeant at Arms, the Senate Sergeant at Arms. Those are two people. People may know the House Sergeant at Arms because he's the one who, during the State of the Union, announces the president on the floor of the House. So you've got those two guys, and then you've got the architect of the Capitol, who's actually appointed by the president, who's in charge sort of the physical structure and history of the building. And those are the three people who oversee the Capitol Police Force and the Capitol Police Chief. And, you know, we described in the story the way that sort of strange structure is sort of constantly squeezed between the security needs of the place and the political needs of the place. The House Sergeant at Arms is appointed by the House Speaker. The Senate Sergeant at Arms is appointed by the Senate Majority Leader. And so, you know, their bosses are the politicians.
Rosalind Helderman with us on Como News, investigative reporter for The Washington Post. And you can find all of her coverage online at WashingtonPost.com. Rosalind, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Como News Time 1220. Now our Propel Insurance business update.
Milipita's California-based Lumentum is buying rival laser maker Coherent, based in Santa Clara, for $5.7 billion. Lumentum shares down 11%. Coherent shares up 32% on the news. Office Depot has rejected another takeover offer from Staples, but indicated it is open to an alternative deal. Office Depot turned down the $2 billion offer, saying a sale of its retail and consumer-facing e-commerce operations to Staples or a joint venture is preferable to a full takeover. That's your money now.
Markets today remain higher. The Dow is up 126 points, a 0.5%. The S&P 500 up by almost 1%, or 32 points. And the NASDAQ up by 1.5%, 203 points in positive territory. Money news at 20 and 50 past the hour. Traffic is next.
Como News Radio Podcast. From news to politics, health to fitness. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app and visit comonews.com/podcast for the full podcast lineup. Stay connected. Stay informed. Como News.